And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau's greenhouse gas emissions have dropped by nearly 30% in the last decade. That's according to a new report that measures citywide energy use. That means they've reached a goal set back in 2011. But now it seems like maybe it's time to set new goals as experts urge the world to cut greenhouse gas faster than ever before. KTOO's Anna Canny has more.
Greenhouse gas is everywhere. It comes from the fossil fuel that powers our homes, our cars. And in Juneau, it also powers mines and visiting cruise ships. It's everywhere. So there's no one way to get rid of it.
There really just aren't any silver bullets.
That's Steve Banky, Energy Chair for the Juneau Commission on Sustainability.
You really have to make these incremental gains on a whole bunch of different fronts, and then over time they add up.
He's been working on local climate policy for years, promoting all kinds of carbon-cutting technology. Little things like LED lights, and bigger solutions like electric vehicles and heat pumps. A new report that added up all of the city's emissions from 2021 shows that those solutions are working. Total emissions are down nearly 30% from 2011.
It's good news. Reducing emissions is something that is a community value, and we're moving in the right direction.
That's Denise Koch. She's the city's deputy director of public works, and she's one of the people who contributed to the new report, which takes an inventory of local energy use and greenhouse gas emissions. Probably comes as no surprise that transportation and buildings are the biggest fossil fuel burners. Those sectors still rely heavily on oil and gas, but Juneau has cheap, renewable hydropower, so those are also the areas where the community can cut emissions pretty easily by introducing electric technology. And we already have. There are a lot more electric cars on the road since 2011, and thousands of electric heat pumps have been installed since then, too. But another thing the report highlights is that Juneau hasn't updated its emissions targets since it first adopted a climate adaptation plan almost 15 years ago. Back then, the city set a goal to cut 30% of emissions by 2032. And at the time, that felt ambitious. But today, it falls short of national and international standards. At the same time, federal money for cutting carbon and ramping up clean electricity is more readily available than ever. And having an idea of where local emissions come from can help the city to strategize and compete for that funding.
I see it as a foundational document. Once you know where your emissions are coming from, then you can make decisions and policy changes based on that information.
Now that the report is out, Banky and the rest of the Juneau Commission on Sustainability will put together a policy recommendation to present to the Assembly sometime this summer. One of the big ones might be setting that more aggressive emissions reduction target. But they'll also suggest doing more of these annual reports in the future. That way, Juneau can track its progress as the community continues to work on shrinking its carbon footprint over time. Reporting from Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
A timber company owned by Yakutat Village Corporation has filed for bankruptcy this month after a bank sued the corporation over $13 million in outstanding debts. It's the latest chapter in the story of a contentious logging operation that many of the corporation's shareholders didn't support. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports.
Yak Timber filed for bankruptcy on May 11th. In a letter to shareholders the next day, the village corporation Yaktak Kwan said they filed only after exhausting all efforts to negotiate a resolution with the bank. Yakutat's tribal government says the lawsuit is further dividing a town that was already stressed. Many residents didn't agree with the logging operation in the first place. Andrew Gildersleeve is the tribe's executive director. He says, above all, there's grief.
The matter itself is almost like a broken piece of glass with so many edges, it's impossible to pick up without getting cut. There's shock of what's happened to tribal lands and disbelief that there could be a claim of this size.
The lawsuit, brought by AgWest Farm Credit, alleges that Yak Timber owes the bank about $13.3 million in unpaid loans.
Where did all that money that they borrowed go?
Cindy Bremner is a shareholder and the former CEO of the corporation. She's now Yakutat's mayor. She says shareholders have a lot of questions the corporation won't answer. It's straining relationships in the small town of 600.
We live in a small town. We're all related. And it's caused quite a divide between those on that board and then pretty much the rest of the shareholders.
The suit says the corporation hasn't made payments since the middle of 2022. The bank is seeking repayment, interest, and attorney's fees. It lists equipment, along with timber, proceeds, and property as collateral. In a letter to shareholders on April 7th, corporation leadership said their board, quote, is united in every possible effort to address the allegations, end quote. Sherry Jensen, the corporation's CEO, said in a written statement that they had no comment for this story. But as recently as October, Jensen told Coast Alaska that paying back the loans wouldn't be a problem after they sell Yak Timber's logging equipment.
Banks don't lend money to broke companies. They just don't. And, you know, we had a business plan, and they bought into it.
The Yak Tak Kwan Corporation was formed in the early 70s after the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act took effect. The federal law exchanged indigenous land rights for money, divvying up the remaining land among a few hundred village corporations. Those corporations are charged with making a profit for their shareholders. The Kwan created its timber subsidiary in 2018 to harvest 21 million board feet of timber on its land. It logged about three-quarters of that, shipping nearly 4,000 log trucks worth of wood to China. As Yak Timber pursued different logging projects, opposition grew among shareholders. Some wanted the corporation to seek other resource revenue, such as carbon credits. Eventually, Yak Timber announced last fall that it would sell off its assets. But the company continued to harvest timber at a place called Humpback Creek, which the local and regional tribal governments say is culturally and historically significant. They, along with the regional corporation Sea Alaska, have requested Yak Timber stop logging there. The corporation faces a lawsuit from shareholders as well. Some are worried that their land could be lost as collateral for their debt. Amanda Bremner is a cousin to the mayor.
I am incredibly concerned, not just for the risk to existing land, but for what this means for the future of our company and all of our shareholders.
She and another shareholder chair a coalition that is seeking a change. Their lawsuit, filed on May 9th, asks the court to step in and force the corporation to hold an election for all 9 seats on the board. Yak Tak Kwan hasn't held an election in a couple of years, which led to a state fine. Amanda Bremner says taking the corporation to court was a difficult decision, but many shareholders share her goals.
To see our corporation flourish and thrive and be successful and ethical and rooted in indigenous value and to have business practices reflect that.
The loaning bank will not comment. In a separate court filing, the bank seeks to repossess a tug and barge they loaned Yak Timber for $3.3 million. Later, they asked the court to ban the corporation from moving the barge, saying it was uninsured. The corporation has disputed this and filed its own motions. Reporting for Coast Alaska in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has requested authorization for non-lethal harassment or disturbance of marine mammals. It's part of the Deepwater Port Modification in Nome. The National Marine Fisheries Service requires the request for an incidental harassment authorization, or IHA, as part of the Marine Mammals Protection Act. KNOM's Greg Knight reports.
Jathan Garrett is the Army Corps of Engineers project manager in Nome. Garrett spoke to residents and community organizations during a meeting on May 17th, and he says citizens have about a week left to comment on the proposal.
We got to see what comments come in. We need to know what comments are submitted, and then from that point, carry it forward.
Garrett says once comments are received, the project team will review them and use them to assist in the conversation with the National Marine Fisheries Service. Nome resident Chuck Benadaluk says walruses should be included in the authorization. Currently, only seals, sea lions, porpoises, and whales are listed as marine mammals in the proposed IHA.
There have been documented cases of walruses hauling out at the end of the port, so I would recommend that that walruses be put on the incidental IHA.
The public comment period for the request to take marine mammals is open through June 1st. Reporting in Nome, I'm Greg Knight.
And after almost 2 months on the lam in Homer, Grubby the opossum is going to a new home at Anchorage's zoo. Homer police say an officer was able to capture the female opossum in a garbage can yesterday morning, but not before she bit his hand. Jason Harriman is a fish and game biologist who first examined Grubby.
Some people would call her cute, some would call her a little mean-looking.
Grubby arrived in Homer in March after hitching a ride in a shipping container from Washington State. She's named after the street where she was first spotted, Grubbsake Avenue. Opossums don't live in Alaska, so she's considered an invasive species, and there were concerns about her bringing new diseases or eating in indigenous animals. And now she's going to live at the zoo. This is KTOO.